This is John MacArthur, and I'm thrilled to announce the upcoming release of The Essential Church Movie. This feature-length film by Grace Community Church explores the battle between the church and the government throughout history. Every pastor and churchgoer needs to see this movie. It is an unforgettable, dramatic reminder of the church's responsibility to stand courageously and faithfully for Christ against all enemies. Our earnest prayer is that the projected project will inspire and strengthen believers, reaffirming the truth that Christ alone is the head of the church, regardless of external pressures. The Essential Church Movie will premiere on July 28th in theaters around the United States. To find out more information and locate a theater near you, go to EssentialChurchMovie.com. That's EssentialChurchMovie.com.
I love sitting in my office reading a book by a dead guy.
So then they picked dead mentors. Spurgeon, Calvin, Luther. Dead guys who are not going to actually get to know them or correct them.
I have never read a book by a dead guy and had some thoughts in my head that occurred as a result of reading the dead guy's book, where the dead guy began to argue with me.
This is the Dead Guy Reader Society. Welcome back to the Dead Guy Reader Society. It is Drew, and I'm all by myself today, mainly because Chris has not read the book that I'm going to be going over with you. Now, many of you may have never heard of George Mueller, but he was a man who I believe was a prime example of living by faith. Now, usually here on the Dead Guy Reader Society, we will take a work, we'll give a small biography about the author, and then get into the work itself. However, the work we are looking at is an autobiography. So in looking at the work, we are learning about the man. And in learning about the man, we get to fix our eyes on the great God that George Mueller desired to serve. So Mueller was born in Kroppenstadt, I think I'm saying that right, in the Kingdom of Prussia on September 27th, 1805. Now, the Kingdom of Prussia is what we know today as like the areas of Germany, Poland, and Austria. At a young age, George began stealing from his father and his father's clients. His father was a tax collector, and so he would steal some of the money, and this would force his father to have to make up the losses out of his own pocket. At age 11, George's father sent him off to prepare for the university. It was the desire of George's father that George become a clergyman, not for the purpose of serving God, but in order to have a comfortable life. Mueller admits that studying, reading novels, and indulging in sinful practices were his favorite pastimes. He was fully given to his sin, so much so that when his mother died suddenly, when he was just 14 years old, and he says, quote, "That night I played cards until 2 a.m. and went to a tavern the next day. Her death made no lasting impression on me. Instead, I grew worse." Period, close quote. He continued indulging in a life of sin, even after his confirmation, leading him to continually partake of the Lord's Supper in an unholy manner. He continued in a life of sin, which led him to prison at the age of 16. He continually made resolves, like we do all the time, to change and to live differently. He would change his companions. He would change the establishments that he visited. And yet, nothing brought about the change that only true faith and true repentance can bring through the gospel message. Much of this is, it's similar to us, is it not? we know when we do wrong, so we think if we only change our friends, if we change our environment, then we will change. Well, don't forget that sin entered in through Adam, and Adam was in the perfect environment. He was in the garden. It's not about changing our circumstances in order to be different. It is submission to the gospel of Christ that changes us, makes us different, and then we change our circumstances accordingly. This is what happened with Mueller. When he was in his 20s, he heard the gospel message for the first time. Consider the fact, okay, that he was confirmed as a clergyman several years before, and only now is he hearing the gospel message. But nevertheless, he submitted to the gospel, repented of his sin, and the Lord showed him mercy. Not long after his conversion, he was asked to preach. Now, he was trying to discover his own manner of preaching, but while he was doing that, he knew one thing to be true. He says, quote, "I knew that the truth should be preached at all costs," period, end quote. So as he grew in his faith, he still had little desire to actually know the scriptures. He says of himself, quote, "I was growing in the faith and knowledge of Jesus, but I still preferred reading religious books instead of scripture," period, close quote. Now, in this admission of George Mueller, we should see a lot of ourselves. Don't we so often prefer reading the words of uninspired men, what they have to say about God, rather than giving ourselves to the study of Scripture to learn about God? For Mueller, now a series of events, these events ordered by the providence of God, allowed him to be granted a full dismissal from the required military service all Prussian males were to serve. He would set out for London in order to be trained by the London Missionary Society to be a missionary to the Jews. Once he arrived in London, he fell ill. And he took this time to basically give himself to the study of the scriptures and to prayer. Now, prior to his leaving prior to his arriving in London, he heard a sermon that affected him greatly. Now, he had grown up hearing a man-centered gospel message, one that focuses on man's rights and man's will. I mean, we hear the same message a lot today. But this sermon cut him to the heart, and it was about the sovereignty of God. So during his illness, having given himself to the study of God's word in light of the teaching of the sovereignty of God, he recounts this. "Now, I learned that the Father chose us before the foundation of the world. He originated the wonderful plan of our redemption, and he also arranged the way it was to be brought about. The Son fulfilled the law and bore the punishment due to our sins, satisfying the justice of God. Finally, the Holy Spirit alone can teach us about our sinful state, show us the need of a Savior, enable us to believe in Christ, explain the Scriptures to us, and help us preach the Word." Mueller clung tightly to the notion of the Holy Spirit as the divine teacher, and soon he would put down his commentaries and approach the scriptures with nothing more than prayer and meditation, relying upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Eventually, Mueller would leave the London Missionary Society, which had provided him his room and board and his food. It wouldn't be long before he was relying solely upon the graciousness of God and learning to live by faith. Now, before we get to Mueller living by faith, it's important to hear of his preaching method. He believed the most beneficial method was to expound the scriptures, what we today would call expository preaching. When preaching, he would draw out his sermons in an eloquent and an almost academic format. However, in doing this, he felt as though he was preaching under his own authority rather than being led by the Holy Spirit. And his words weren't quite landing with the people that he was teaching. His words were really just going over their head. For his people, Mueller discovered that simplicity in expression was the best way for the congregation to grasp the truths that he was relaying. Charles Spurgeon was in France when he heard George Mueller teach a Bible class. He remarked, quote, "Well now, that is a very simple talk. A child from Sunday school might almost say all that he has said. Yet, I was edified to the highest degree," period, end quote. Well, that was his teaching method, expounding the scriptures in a simple way that a child or illiterate person could understand. In 1830, he married Mary Groves, and the two began their journey of living by faith. Mueller had given up his salary, stating, quote, "Fear of offending those who pay his salary has kept many ministers from preaching the uncompromising word of God," period, end quote. So, in order to not be beholden to any person in his church and their personal preference, he's not giving in to their personal pronouns or their ideologies or the ways of the world that have crept into the church, right? In order to avoid the idea of telling people what they want to hear so that they continue to come and give the money, right, which is what we see a lot of today, Mueller decided to forego his salary. And then there was this exchange between Mueller, who needed money for food and for rent, and a woman from his church. Mueller had gone to the Lord praying for provisions. They were only down to about 8 shillings, he and his wife. He prayed that their simple needs would be met. Then a woman comes to his door. She asks him, "Do you want any money?" To which Mueller replied, "I told the brethren when I gave up my salary that I would tell the Lord only about my wants." Her reply was to say that that was why she was there, that the Lord had brought her to give him enough money to last all the week. And this would be the pattern of Mueller's life. He documents time after time after time of his family having almost no funds, Mueller taking the need to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord providing all that they needed. But not just for Mueller and his family, but for the orphanages that he ran as well. In 1832, Mueller would move to Bristol. He would pastor the Bethesda Chapel, and he would remain there until his death in 1898. He pastored the same church for 66 years. I mean, now it's hard for a pastor to stay anywhere for more than 5 years, and he stayed here for 66 years. And throughout the duration of his ministry, he was given millions of dollars in donations. And yet, when he died, he had very little to call his own. Everything had been used in the service of the Lord. George Mueller died on March 10th, 1898, and the streets of Bristol, England, were filled with tens of thousands who desired to pay their respects. He is mostly remembered for two things: his work with orphans and his remarkable prayer life. I have said that prayer is one of the most neglected means of grace in the life of a believer. And yet George Mueller, for him, it was what sustained him. Now let me be clear, not everyone is called to live as sacrificially as Mueller, to give up almost everything. That's a hard life to live. Not everyone is called to do that. But at the same time, I believe we would do well to rid ourselves of all the junk that clutters up our lives and wastes our time and distracts us from growing in the Lord. So believers in Christ, there are several things we can learn from George Mueller, and I'll list them out quickly. First, allow the Holy Spirit to be your primary teacher of the Scriptures. Yes, it's good to read other godly men, provided that you know good sources, which is what we're trying to do here, give you good sources of good godly men to follow. They're helpful, and they provide excellent guides. But if we are to truly know God for ourselves, then we should desire more than secondhand knowledge. If all you know of God is what someone else says about him, then do you truly know him? Second, do not let the world compromise the gospel message. Whether you're a preacher or you're a layman, we must cling to the truth of God regardless of what it costs us. For Mueller, he gave up his salary so that he wasn't beholden to any person but God. We must be ready to hold to an uncompromising gospel message regardless of what it costs us. And finally, third, we must be devoted to a life of prayer and meditation. Studying the Scriptures teaches us about God. Prayer continually unites us with God, and meditation seeks to apply what we have learned of God in our hearts in order to bring about our obedience to God. So, brothers and sisters, if you like what you've heard, then I would strongly encourage you to get a copy of the autobiography of George Mueller. Because truth be told, I've barely scratched the surface. This is a man who is brutally honest of who he was before his conversion and of just about everything that happened after. What he gave up, what he went through. There is so much more within these pages that will greatly edify your soul. They will edify your soul, they will drive you to the Scriptures, and they will drive you to prayer. So I encourage you, pick up a copy of the autobiography of George Mueller. The book discussed on today's show can be found through the link in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know by reaching out to us on our social media platforms or by leaving a review. And don't forget to visit our store where you can get your Dead Guy Reader Society t-shirt and promote the fact that you are a proud reader of the Dead Guys.
John MacArthur here to tell you that the Essential Church movie will premiere in theaters on July 28th. Nothing like this has been done before. Every pastor and churchgoer needs to see this movie. It's an unforgettable, dramatic reminder of the church's responsibility to stand courageously and faithfully for Christ against all enemies. To find a theater near you, go to EssentialChurchMovie.com. That's EssentialChurchMovie.com.